Today, I'm going to be talking about the research that we have been conducting in Virginia Tech, looking for the effect of biosolids on nutrient cycling and forest growth. And I'm going to be particularly talking about the nutrient availability following the application of this kind of materials. We learned about 30 or 40 years ago the important and how important are fertilizers and fertilization and the positive impact that they have on tree growth. On palm plantations. It's hard to picture a silviculture prescription without the incorporation of nutrients, especially nitrogen and phosphorus. But we have also seen during the last 10 years how the prices of fertilizer have been going up. This is from October 2006 and October 2007, and we see that regular conventional fertilizers, the prices have been going up like 50 or 60%. So it's here where biosolid show like a good alternative as a slow nutrient release sources. And because it is there, like every year we in the US, we produce about more than 7 million of dry tons of this kind of material. And most and half of them are applied in agriculture fields, and less than 1% have been going to forestry. So it is there, and it's actually way cheaper, and there are several studies that show how that is way less expensive than conventional materials. But under the definition of biosolid, we find any kind of solid, semi-solid, liquid material that have been treated and can be safely applied. So here I'm showing three different kinds of materials normally applied in Virginia. The pelletized material, the digested material that is coming from Alexandria, Virginia, and the lime stabilizer is coming from Washington, D.C. And we see that the three of them are different in terms of chemical composition and also the concentration of the different nutrients that they have. So, and we will see that they also have the different organic and inorganic forms too. So even though we know that they have some nutrients, there are also different concerns about the use of these materials, and we see that like in the news, and it's, at least where we are, it's quite common to hear about people wondering about what is going to happen and what we're putting out there, especially about the trace materials, the organic toxic, heavy metals, pathogens, and others. We are specifically focusing on the nutrient part of it, and if we put this material, if there is any change in the availability, and then it, depending on how much we put out there, if there is any risk of leaching and groundwater pollution. So considering this, the objective of our study is to see if the different application of biosolid, different type of biosolid at different rates, will have any impact on the nutrient cycling. And here I'm going to be presenting specifically about like nitrogen availability and if there is any potential for leaching. Our study is located in the Virginia Piedmont. It's about 45 miles southwest from Richmond. The treatments were applied on a 17-year-old lowly palm plantation that was thinned before the beginning of the study. And the soil is an aptly series, a typical ultisol, which is very common in the Virginia Piedmont with a deep clay BT horizon. So in order to define the treatment and the rates that we're applying, we use the plant available nitrogen methods, which basically take all the organic and inorganic forms that we have in the biosolid and account for the losses and gains through volatilization, gentrification, and mineralization. So the regulations in Virginia actually take account of this and establish, for example, for surface application of lime material, we will only have 25% available of the ammonia during the first year and only 30% of the organic forms. And the same with the anaerobically digested material, which will be only 50% of the ammonia will be available, and 20% of the total organic is going to be in this total plant available nitrogen during the first year. So keeping this in mind, we defined our nine treatments that were design in a random and complete block design with plots of a quarter acre. So the first set of treatment were applied in fall of 2005. We have a control with no application, and then we incorporate the first two materials at similar rates with lime stabilized and anaerobically digested material. The lime from Alexandria, Virginia, and the anaerobic digested from Blue Plain in Washington, D.C. Then during the spring application, we incorporate the pelletized material. We also add a conventional urea DAP fertilization and three different rates of the digested material. The reason for this is because this is the material where most of the water treatment plants are moving now. So we think that in the future, this is going to be the most common material. We are using this 250 kilogram per hectare rate because this is actually what the regulations allowed in Virginia. And this is the sequence of how we how we set up the experiment. So the material is delivered from Washington, D.C. down to Amelia County. We used just a regular manure spreader. And this is how, this contrast here, it would look how, it show how it looks, the 215 kilograms per hectare rate in terms of how much are you really putting out there. So it's not that uniform, as you can see. And the biosol is actually flying from there. So this will be like the thinning line. And this is how they look like for the digested material at different rates. Well, you have the control treatment, the 215, and then you put more material, and finally, yeah, and you can really see it. If you go now, this was in March. If you go now, you actually see like it's way greener, nicer. And this is what we finally end up getting: the amount of total dry material that we put out there. Different total amount of nitrogen, and this were then our plain available nitrogen based on what we end up getting out from the manure spreader. So in order to measure the nitrogen availability, we used cations, anions, ECHIM membranes, which basically what the way they work is that you bury them in the soil, in the top mineral soil, and they are able to exchange cations and ions from the salt solution. You bury them for a month, and then you get them out, and we just do a regular extraction, and from there we get an amount of cations and ions per surface unit, and we expand that to a square meter, and we get a number per day. We also, in order to look for the leaching potential, we use suction lysimeters down to a depth of 80 centimeters, basically looking for the bottom of this clay BT horizon to see if there is any leaching going through it. So in this graph, here we have then the addition of the membranes from the ammonium, for the ammonium nitrate extracted, bringing up to square meter per day. And here we have then our sample measurements. And if you see down here, the blue one, this will be the control, which is showing that it's not really a lot of exchange going on. But then we see, like right after application of all the treatment, we see that they all are showing some increments in the nitrogen availability. We have here, like the light blue, it will be the urea application. And we see that there are three biosolid treatments. They don't really differ that much. And even if we go down here to the end, we see that, if you can follow that one, you see that the light blue of the urea is going down to control levels. And then and we have the biosolids that they are still like releasing nutrients. So say, okay, so we put biosolid and we have nutrient available. So what happens if we put more? Well, if we put more biosolid out there, we'll see that, yeah, we're getting more nitrogen available. So say, okay, we put more, and you see like up to 1,700 of plant available nitrogen, it's going significantly high in several measurement points, and at the end of 1 year, we still have nitrogen out in that treatment. So what happened with the leaching? So here we have then the concentration in solution in milligrams per liter, and you need to keep in mind that the regulations in Virginia for water quality standards establish 10 at the upper limit of water quality. So most of the treatment after application, the 200 rate treatment, they stay below this 10 ppm. Here we have a drought, no sampling, and then after we get back, the two high rates of, that we're testing for the spring application, you see how high these leaching numbers are showing. It's like going up to, I got numbers like going up to almost 200 ppm, which is actually what you expect if you put all that material out there. So it doesn't really surprise me. What is good about it is that what the regulations allow, the quality of the sample stay below the normal standard. So as conclusion, we can say that if biosolids increase the nitrogen availability after applications, yes they do. And they do in a similar way to conventional fertilization. If we put more, definitely we're going to have more nitrogen available out in the system, but we need to consider that there is a potential for leaching, and that's why the regulation establishes how much can you really put out there. For the 250 kilograms per hectare that we test, we didn't find any nitrogen leaching out of it. So I would like to acknowledge the people that are funding my research, Synagro, the Metropolitan Washington Council of Government, which are funding all this, the people from the Forest Nutrition Co-op, and the Forest Soil Group from Virginia Tech, and my committee meeting too. Half of it is here, which is good. So I don't know if you have any questions. We have time for questions. Well, the one that is the, are you talking about the really high rates?
Well, you had three very different processes there. I'm specifically talking about the Enviro process.
Yeah.
That uses lime.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if you just added that lime, you didn't have a lot of nitrogen in that one. Would that have changed your mineralization? Because you got a much higher pH, I assume.
We actually already measured pH. We have been doing pH measurements, and actually having like really big changes in the pH. And I'm assuming it's basically because of mineralization, and then because of the amount of clay that I have in this surface. There's still a lot of material up. Like this is a surface application, so there's a lot of material up there. So we have seen increments in the calcium and also changes in the pH, but I don't think I can relate it right now with the nitrogen availability out there. Like make difference in terms of the lime material really changing. Yeah.
Any other questions for Eduardo?